We are holding on page Nun in Vavabhasra Ois Tesvav. Continuing on the topic of Tzedakah, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya Ba'aba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rami. As Rav Chiya Ba'aba said in the name of Rav Yochanan, that Rav Yochanan pointed out a contradiction between Psukim. Both of them are Psukim in Mishlei. Ksiv, Lo Yoyil Hoin B'yem Evra. One Pasuk says, a fortune will not help a person, will not be effective for him on a day of anger, on a day of Hashem's anger. With tzedakah, tatzol mimaves, but tzedakah saves from death. Uchtiv, then you have a different pasuk. Lo ya'ilu oitzreis resha. Treasuries that a person has from wickedness are not going to be effective for him. Or tzedakah tatzol mimaves, and again it finishes off that tzedakah saves from death. So the question is, based tzedakah salalu lama, why do you have two psukim that end with the exact same thing with tzedakah tatzol mimaves? So where's the contradiction? Marsha points out, the first pasuk, lo yoyil hoyin v'yem evra, implies that any kind of fortune that a person has, no matter what, a person can never save himself with his money. It's not even going to be effective to do tzedakah. The second pasuk, though, is saying, lo yoyil oitzris resha, if he got money by stealing or other illegal kinds of things, then it won't be effective, but he can save himself with tzedakah. So first of all, the two psukim seem to contradict one another. Can a person save himself with honestly earned money by giving it to tzedakah or not? And yeah, why do you have two psukim that end with a tzedakah tatzol mimavis? Eitz Yosef expands on the question a little more. That yeah, I mean you. So what are you going to say? It can't mean that his oitzris resha won't be effective unless he gives tzedakah from them. But if he gives tzedakah, it'll be effective. Obviously not. Any oitzer is not going to help him. And second of all, how can he give tzedakah from oitzris resha? So the answer is both of them in fact are referring to giving proper tzedakah, but achas shematzelas midina shel gehenem, where it means is one kind of tzedakah is the kind that saves a person from the judgment of gehenem. The achas shematzelas midmisa meshuna, and the other one that saves him from an unnatural death. The ezuhi shematzelas midina shel gehenem, which kind is it that saves him from the judgment of gehenem? That would be Hahu Dichtibe Evra, the one that said the first pasuk that the Gemara had quoted. Mind you, the Gemara is quoting the psukim out of order, because the first one's from Perek Yud Aleph, the second one's from Perek Yud. But the first one the Gemara had quoted says Lo Yoyil Hoin B'Yem Evra, a fortune will not be effective on the day of anger. And what does Evra mean? Dichtib Yem Evra Hayem Ahu. It says in Tzfania that day is a day of wrath, it's a day of Hashem's anger and wrath. So we see that then, and that's referring to Gehenna. So we see, in other words, there's one type of tzedakah. So the Shlomo is telling us, not really two types, but two different aspects of tzedakah. Number one, that tzedakah saves a person from Dina Shel Gehenna. So after 120. So then at that point, even when it's his own mammon, if he didn't do tzedakah in Olam Hazeh, it's too late at that point. So therefore, that's what the pasuk is saying, lo yoyil hoin, that a fortune will not save him, v'yoyim evra, on that day of Hashem's anger, when it comes to him, if he's going to be judged to Gehenna, it's too late at that point for him to give tzedakah.
Well, that's going to save him from a mission of Shema, you said?
That's the second one, saves him from the second good thing of tzedakah, is the ezri matzelus from mission of Shema, but then you have another kind of tzedakah that saves a person from an unnatural death.
It's the first one.
That would be the second one. Noisna, but any adela mean noisna, the best kind of tzedakah, which saves him from a missing mishona, is where he gives it and he doesn't know who he's giving it to. Noitla, but any adela mean noitla, and the poor person gets it and he doesn't know who he got it from.
That's
what we're saying. That kind saves a person from missing mishona. Any kind of tzedakah we're saying will save a person from Gehenna. But that he has to do it while he's still alive. If he waits till he's dead, then it's going to be too late for the tzedakah to help him.
So what's the first one?
The first one is that it saves him from Dina Shel Gehenna. That was saying any kind of tzedakah will do that. Okay. But then in addition, you have a kind that will save him from Mitzvah Meshuna. In this world, is the kind where he does an Olam Hazeh. Now, if he stole it, if it's Oitzvah Resha, then it won't be effective B'chlal. Then we can't say it's tzedakah tatzim imavis. So therefore, Shlomo is saying, Lo Ya'ilu Oitzvah Resha. If a person has a fortune that he made from wickedness, from dishonest business or whatever, then it's not going to help him at all. But if he made his own money honestly, and then he gives that tzedakah, and he gives it in the best possible way, where he gives it without the poor person knowing who he got it from, and then he doesn't know who he's giving it to, then that is such a great mitzvah that it saves him from a Misa Mishuna in this world.
That the tzedakah is going to come out of his estate after he's dead. Does that help? Or?
That's something. I mean, we find by Ma'ukva in the Gemara in Ksubas, you also have a long sugya about tzedakah over there, and the Gemara tells us that Ma'ukva, throughout his life, he gave tzedakah. When he got to the end of it, before he passed away, he looked over his account books, realized he hasn't given, in his estimation, he hadn't given nearly as much as he should, and therefore he decided half of his estate should go to tzedakah. Fine, but so it does help. But in other words, we're not talking about a person was stingy his entire lifetime, and then before he passes away, he's going to give. It's not necessarily going to be, well, no, because there he's still alive, so if he still says, but if after he's dead, and he was stingy his whole life, and now after he's dead, they decide to give tzedakah from his estate, it'll help to some extent. I guess this is why we give tzedakah for the Ilui Nishmas Pliny, after all, but still, it has to be that he himself was giving tzedakah as well. So that's why you need the both psukim. Now Tosfos points out on the face of it, wait a minute though, shouldn't the kind what we're saying, giving and not knowing who he's giving, taking from when he doesn't know from who he's taking, that's the highest, that the Rambam lists that as the second highest level of tzedakah. The highest is not even tzedakah at all, but to help a person find a job or lend him money to get on his feet, etc. But this is the highest level of actual tzedakah. So then Tosfos asks, in that case, such a great mitzvah should save him from Dinah Shel Gehenim. Isn't Dinah Shel Gehenim worse than any Yisurim in this world? But Tosfos says, because it's fakert, most mitzvahs help a person in Olam Haba. It takes a special kind of mitzvah that helps a person in this world as well. So the point is, not that tzedakah giving in secret won't save him from Dinah Shel Gehenim. It'll do both. Sure, it'll save him from Dinah Shel Gehenim. On top of that, it'll also be effective for him in this world because it's a greater mitzvah. So the Gemara points out, noisna ve'en yudel, mean noisna, when we're saying that he gives the tzedakah, but he doesn't know to whom he's given it to, that means va'apukimid ma'ukva. That means that the ideal is not like the way ma'ukva used to do. Ma'ukva, in that sugya, in Ksubas, the Gemara tells us that he would go every day, he would go and drop off 4 zuz by a certain poor person's house. And then you have the whole story over there, where one day the guy decides to find out who's leaving it for him, and he goes and runs after him, and ma'ukva and his wife end up in the oven, the whole story over there, but the point is that is not the highest level. Now, why was Ma'ukva doing it? The Rambam points out here, the Gemara is going to say soon that the proper way to give tzedakah is that the mamuna, the one in charge, has to be scrupulously honest, as the Gemara is going to say, like Rav Chanina ben Tzadion. So apparently, in Ma'ukva's, where Ma'ukva lived, there wasn't a gabbai tzedakah that he could trust so much, and therefore he had no choice but to give it himself. But it's not the ideal, because fine, the poor person doesn't know who he received it from. That's a very great thing. At least that means the poor person, when he sees Ma'ukva, is not going to be embarrassed of him. But after all, Ma'ukva himself isn't going to know that he gave to this guy, and therefore he might feel a certain condescension towards him. Condescension, like he might feel like I'm greater than him because I helped him out or something. When we say that the ideal of tzedakah is that the poor person takes it, but he doesn't know who he got it from, that means la'apukim did Rab Abba, as opposed to what Rab Abba did, where the Gemara explains also there in Ksubas that Rab Abba would take coins and put them in his scarf or whatever and sling it behind his back. So poor people would, and he sits in a place where he knows that poor people are often there. So they would come and take it from behind his back. He doesn't see who they are, but they know who that they're taking from him. That's an even lower level of tzedakah, because the fact is they know they're getting from Rab Abba, and if they ever see him face to face, they're going to be embarrassed knowing that they received tzedakah from him. The choice could have been that he could have done like Ma'ukva. For whatever reason, he couldn't. Maybe these guys are homeless and he couldn't drop it off by their houses. Maybe he didn't know where they live. Who knows? Whatever. So each of them is a high level of tzedakah. The Rambam lists 8 levels of tzedakah. These are among the greater ones, but nevertheless, the greatest of all is where neither one knows who the other is. Where again, where possible, you should do that. Provided, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that the Gabbai Tzedakah is completely reliable, and then the Rambam writes approximately the same thing as putting into a pushka. When you put into a pushka, the same thing. You don't know which poor person is going to wind up with the money. He doesn't know which particular coin which came from which person. So therefore, so that's approximately the same thing that Amram says.
So the Gemara says, that's the Gemara says. So what should a person do? He should put it into the tzedakah purse or the pushka, and that way, it's the best possible thing. The Rif talks about in some detail why indeed Taka Mar Ukva and Rab Abba respectively didn't do the same thing. So he talks about you can have a case where for example you can have a person where let's say he did steal and now he's doing tshuva, so now he doesn't want to give it directly to the poor person, so he doesn't make it look like he's rich because he knows this money is not after all his, and therefore he should be giving it anonymously, and this way he doesn't get any covered from it. And then you can have other cases where there's in fact, actually, the Rif says, the pasuk that we quoted before, lo ya'ilu oitzves resha, hints to that point. When he keeps it as a treasury, then it won't help. But it doesn't say lo ya'il hoin resha. In the first pasuk, it said it used the word hoin for a fortune. Here it says the word oitzves, which means a treasury. So it means, in other words, if he has money that he got from stealing, fine. But now he did tshuva, what can he do? He doesn't know who to return it to. Then fine, he gives tzedakah with it. It's the next best thing, at least. You can't say lo ya'ilu that it's completely ineffective. But yeah. Okay. So you should put it in the Avniki Chotzdoka, put it in the Tzedaka Pushka, and that's really almost the best possible thing, and that's really the best possible actual kind of Tzedaka. Again, as the Rambam says, a higher level is to actually lend the guy money or help him find a job or whatever, but yeah. Okay. The Gemara says, though, Mesfi, I have a contradiction to that. You're telling me that the best thing to do is to put in the pushka, but a braisa says, "Ma yasa adam v'yul abonim schorim." What mitzvah should a person do so that he'll be zoicha to male children? It's good to have girls as well, but as we're going to learn later on in the parak, there's a certain mila in having boys. For one thing, at least the way it was back then, you have less worry about what's going to be with them. They eventually become self-supporting. So even whether they get married or not, nevertheless, you're not going to be supporting them forever. Whereas girls, you have a lot of worry. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, you have a lot of worry throughout their lifetimes what's going to happen with them. So you have that. You have a variety of other reasons. What? Who's going to have a Kaddish after 120 years? There's that factor as well. Then Yehoyada mentions, it can also mean many times when the Gemara refers to Bonim Sforim, doesn't necessarily mean Davka boys as opposed to girls, means Mashpiim as opposed to Mekablim. So you want to have that your children in the future should be Mashpiim. What schus should you do in order to have the schus for that? Rabbi Eliezer says you should scatter his money and give it to poor people. And in that way, he'll be Zoicha to have boys. Why is that? So Mal Shah says, the Gemara is going to quote soon a posik. The Gemara is going to quote soon a posik that refers to a person who gives tzedakah. Asher ish yores Hashem, it's place of chafetz moed. And the posik continues, Gibur ba'aretz yezare dor Yashem yevarach. His children will be mighty in the land. Well, therefore, and then the capital finishes later on in the capital. Pizan nosam le'avyanim. It's the capital kofi days of Tilim. So it hints that through Pizan nosam le'avyanim, he has Gibur ba'aretz yezare, that his children will be mighty and strong, which refers to boys who generally are stronger physically than girls. So there is that. Ben Yehoyada talks about a couple of other reasons what the connection is between giving lots of tzedakah and having children. So he says one thing. He says a bit of a gleich verter. When a person makes a bris, he generally gives lots of tzedakah. So therefore, when he's giving lots of tzedakah, the poor people are likely to say to themselves, Yehiratzin, this guy is such a generous baal tzedakah, he should have boys, and that way he'll be making brisin, and he'll be giving more to the poor. Ion Yaakov says another point as well. If he gives lots of tzedakah, then he's going to be zoicha to a mazel tov, both in the sense of a good mazel and in the sense people are going to be wishing him. He's going to be zoicha to a mazel tov, and then he'll have children where they'll taka be telling him mazel tov. So he'll have a good mazel, and then that'll come out in bonichayu mizonu revicha. So that's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korchaim, ben Korchaim is in parenthesis, because usually when you have an argument between Rabbi Eliezer, usually his bar plukta is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, not Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho, who belong to the next generation. But anyway, Rabbi Yeshua says, Yisamachas ishke b'dvar mitzvah, a thing that a man should do in order to be zoicha, to have boys, make his wife happy for the dvar mitzvah, namely for tashmish. The Gemara mentions the idea, Ishmazras Chile, you let us zocher, that if a woman emits seed first, then they'll have boys. So if he's Mesameacher, then she's more likely to do that, and therefore he's more likely to have boys. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, and then so that's what a person should do to be zeichah to that. Now the Braisa continues. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer lo yitin adam pruta l'sich arniki shal tzedaka. A person should not give even a pruta into the purse of tzedaka. Elin came mamuna aleh prab chanina ben tradion. Unless the one who's in charge of that arniki shal tzedaka is as trustworthy as Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. Namely, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah that Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, you have Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion was teaching Torah in public when the Romans had outlawed it, and Rabbi Yossi ben Kisna says, how could you do that? And the upshot is Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. So he asks him, what special schus do you have? Rabbi Chanina tells him that one time I mixed up money that was collected for the poor people for Purim with my own money, and I gave it all to tzedakah. There's a couple of different explanations what exactly happened over there that we'll learn about in the Masechet Avodah Zarah when we get to Be'ez Hashem. But the point is that he was scrupulously honest with the tzedakah money. So then that's the kind of gabbai tzedakah that you should be putting the pruta into. So to be sure, so Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov is saying only in that case. Before we were saying that you should just put it in the arniki shel tzedakah without specifying. So what is it? And the answer is ki kamrin, and that's exactly what we mean. When should you put money into the arniki shel tzedakah? Is Yumamuna Allah Kurab Chanina ben Tradion, when the one in charge of it is as trustworthy as Rav Chanina ben Tradion. Tosfos points out, by the way, that the reason we're mentioning him is because of that story. But we don't mean the gabbai tzedakah doesn't have to be a tzaddik of the caliber of Rav Chanina ben Tradion. Then how are you going to ever find that in later generations? It just means you have to be as trustworthy as him.
Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion
was both. He was trustworthy and he was a tzaddik. In later generations, you don't need that your local gabbai tzedakah should be a tzaddik of the caliber of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion in order to give tzedakah to it.
The Romans had
outlawed learning Torah, and he was teaching Torah in public, and he was one of our Torah. He was one of our Torah Rigamalchus. No, he wasn't saved. He was actually killed. He was one of our Torah Rigamalchus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll learn about it in the Masechet Avodah Zarah in a few months or so, Be'ez Hashem. Yeah. Okay. One thing is also Ben Yehoyada points out, pointed up to Yezu, Yefaza Ma'osav Aniyim, he should spread out his money, means also he's giving to many different Aniyim. Since he's giving to many different Aniyim, therefore he's zeichah to many children.
Kolofi Ring Ray Maitha
factors into that as well. Yeah, the more often he gives, as the Rambam says, then that's a greater thing, right? Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar Abba Bahu, Amar Moshe Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe asked the Jewish people, Ribono Shel Olam, Bameh Torum Keren Yisrael, with what will the power and the dignity of the Jewish people be raised? Amalei, and Hashem tells him, B'chisisa, when you want to lift up their heads, you want their heads to be lifted up, that they should be on a higher and greater level, then take from them a koifer for tzedakah. As Hashem continues to tell him, collect Machzah Shekel from them. Marshall explains like this. When it comes to how does the psukim go over there at the beginning of Parshas Yisra? Ki sisa rosh bnei Yisrael l'fkudehem. When you decide to take account of bnei Yisrael, then you should take from them each a matzah shekel. But that implies that it's one thing just for Moshe himself to do. Later on in Parshas Bamidbar, when Hashem tells Moshe to do the census, he tells him seu es rosh. You and Aaron will be together in charge of the census. So why are we here? B'loshin Yochid. Why not ki sisu es rosh bnei Yisrael? So therefore, Maharsha says, and also it doesn't sound like a command. Ki sisa doesn't sound like a command. When you decide to take a census, then take a matzah shekel, as opposed to in Parshas Bamidbar, se'u'es rosh kol adas bnei Yisrael, take a census. So why those differences? So that's why the Gemara is understanding that before the Vaidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer, ki sisa, there was a question from Moshe to which Hashem is answering. Moshe is asking, Mamet Torum Keren Yisrael, how can we lift up, how can we exalt the greatness of the Jewish people? And the answer is, Kisisa, when they give tzedakah, or Maharsha says specifically, when they give donations to the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan demonstrates to the whole world that the Shekhinah rests among the Jewish people, and therefore when they give to that, then that will raise them up in the eyes of everybody in the world who knows about it. So that's why he doushens it that way. The Rif talks about also, we know that after the Chet Egel, the Jewish people had the crowns of Nasa and Nishma, and now they had to take them off, and they were mourning that deeply. So now their horn, their greatness was cut down. So Moshe is asking, how do we restore it? So Hashem is saying, Kisisa. Now the Gemara continues. The Omer Rabbahu, Shalos Shloima ben David. They Irm Yaakov mentions another point as well. You know, you have the question, as we discussed before in the Gemara, are we Jewish people in Kavanim and Kavadim? Well, when we give tzedakah, then it shows that we're Bonim, like Rabbi Akiva said before, to Tonus Rufus. So that's the Tonum Keren Yisrael. That raises the stature of the Jewish people, that now everybody sees that we're Hashem's Bonim and not only Avadim. Rabbi Bahu, further Rabbi Bahu says in this connection, Shalos Shloima ben David. They ask Shloima HaMelech, Ad Heichan Koicha Shal Tzedakah. How far does the power of Tzedakah extend? So he tells them, Tzur Uma Pirish David Abba. Go out and see what my father David HaMelech explained. As he says in Tillim, Pizan Nosan La'avyonim, a person has scattered and given his money to the poor, Tzidkosei Emetis La'ad, his tzedakah lasts forever, Karnei Torim B'chavod, his chun, again meaning his greatness and his power and his dignity, will be raised with kavod. So in other words, he's rewarded in this world and the next world. Marsha points out that they were asking him about an individual who gives tzedakah, a nation as a whole that gives tzedakah. The Gemara quotes, the Gemara is going to quote later on a pasuk from Mishlei about that tzedakah terenim goy. But here we're talking about individuals. So then he tells them you have to look at what David is talking about in Tillim, in that capital, in Kapitel Kofiyud Beis, he's talking about the greatness that a person achieves in this world from it. We can talk about the schar that a person gets for the Mabba, but again, Tzedakah, Gmilas Chasadim, was one of those things where he gets paid a stain, but Olam Hazeh, so you can see that from that capital.
You see that
in that capital, Tillim, you see what David is saying about it. Rava or Rav Abba Omer Mehacha. You have another pasuk which also expresses the greatness and the schar that a person gets from Hashem by giving tzedakah. It's a pasuk from Nevi'im, from Yeshaya. So Marsha points out that Rabbi Bahu quoted a pasuk from Tillim, quoting a pasuk from Tillim. So but Rava or Rav Abba would rather a pasuk from Nevi'im. Nevi'im is actually after all on a higher level than Ksuvim. So you have a pasuk, Hu Meroyim Yishkoin, he, referring to a tzaddik that's referring in previous psukim, will dwell in the heights, in the heights of Gan Eden and in the heights of this world as well, Mitzodes Sloim Misgaboy, his stronghold will be in the strong places in the rocks. Lachmai nitan, his bread is given. Meim of ne'emonim, his water will be faithful. Now, in the simple sense, you understand the pasuk it means. It's talking about a tzaddik who will be safe against any dangers. He won't be in danger from enemies because he'll be in a very strong place. He won't be in danger of hunger and thirst because Hashem will provide him with a regular supply of food and water. But here, instead, Rav Abba or Rava is darshaning that it's saying an effect and a cause. My time of meroyim yishkin, but so does sloim misgavai. Why does he get to dwell in the heights and to have it stronghold in the rocky strong places, Mishum Dlachminitanim, because his bread was given to the poor and his water was always reliably given to the poor, therefore he's zoicha to this. So you see that this pasuk is also expressing the same idea as Shlomo quoted from Tillim. Marsha points out, the Gemara tells us in Tainis, and also in Ksubas, in the story of Ma'ukva, that there's a certain advantage to a woman's tzedakah, a housewife's tzedakah, over her husband's, because her husband gives money. And then the poor person has to take that money to the store and use it to buy food. As opposed to the woman of the house gives him ready-made food. She's cooking and baking, and she takes some of the food and gives it directly to the poor person. And therefore, Makarva Haniyasa, therefore you have the Hana is a sooner one. The Hana is a sooner one. He gets the Hana right away. Yeah. So he's saying, this person, Meroimim Yishkoin, he dwells in the heights because Mitzodis Sloyim Misgaboy, because he gave Sloyim Miloshim the Sela coin. He gave Sela coins to the poor person, and he gets a tremendous reward from that. But even greater is Lachmei Nitan, a name of Namonim, is when from his household is given food and water directly to the poor people. That's even greater than giving them Sloyim. And therefore, the pasuk says Nitan. Now, it doesn't say Lachmei Noisin. It doesn't say he gives, because he, the husband, doesn't give the bread. He's not home. Nitan, it's given from his household by whom? By his Akeret HaBayis, by his wife. And the same thing, and also he says Lach Moy and Mei Mav, meaning the good quality bread that he himself would eat, his wife gives to the poor. The good quality water that he would drink, then she gives to the poor. So that's the best kind of thing. We're saying even better than giving them Sloyim, and that's what the Pasuk is implying.
Since we're mentioning that Rabbi Bohu mentioned something, they asked Shlomo HaMelech, and he answered with a pasuk. So the Gemara mentions another such thing. V'om Rabbi Bohu, Shalos Shlomo ben David, they asked Shlomo HaMelech, Ezehu ben ha'olam haba. Who is a person who is a ben olam haba? Now, what do you mean? I mean, everybody calls the Shlomo chelek olam haba, but there's a difference between having a chelek olam haba and being a ben olam haba. A chelek means you have a portion, and you might end up getting it. A person might end up getting it, might not. The Gemara has an expression in Chagiga that that every person starts off with a portion in Gan Eden and a portion in Gehenna, and then the tzaddik doesn't need the one in Gehenna, and it winds up going to a Rosha. And the Rosha doesn't need the one in Gan Eden, and it winds up going to a tzaddik. So therefore, so every person has that chelek, but to be a ben Olam Haba means a person who goes right into Olam Haba. So what kind of, what would be such a kind of person? Amalahem, so he answers them with the words of a pasuk, Kol Shekeneged Skein of Kavod. When you see that a person is in front of his elders, there is honor, meaning people who are honored in this world because of their zikna, and zikna means chachma. Zaken stands for zeshakana chachma. So when a person has learnt Torah in this world and is given honor in this world for that, then you know that he's a ben olam haba for that. Marsha explains like this. You have in the Gemara in Sukkah tells us about Simchas Beis HaSheva, about the songs that they would sing during it. And one of them, the Gemara mentions, is Chassidim V'Anshei Maisa would sing, and then praise Hashem, Ashrei Yaldusenu Shalei Bishas Ziknasenu. How fortunate is our youth that it did not shame our old age. In other words, now, in old age, we're Chassidim V'Anshei Maisa, even when we were younger, we never did anything that would embarrass us now, that we would have to think back, what an idiot I was back when I was younger. So they have covered. In other words, that so they have covered even in their younger years, and therefore, so therefore, they're the kind of person. So they live their whole life as doing what they were supposed to. Then we know that they get honor in this world, and then they're also a ben olam haba. So the Gemara says, "Ki hodi Yosef breder Rabbi Shor ben Levi cholosh ve'isnigin." It happened that Yosef, the son of Rabbi Shor ben Levi, was sick, and he fainted. Isnigid literally means like his neshama left him. And in Chumash and in Tanakh, when you have the word vayigva, like vayigva vayamos, Targum translates it as ve'isnigid. So it means that he partially died. His neshama left his body. Eventually though, he came back to life. He hadn't actually died, just he was in a coma or something. But his neshama returned to him. The Hakosif brings over here from the Aruch that says it seemed as though his neshama left him, but then it was restored. So his father, Rabbi Shor ben Levi, asked him, "What did you see when your neshama was up there temporarily? What did you see?" So Rabbi Yosef says, I saw an upside down world. The ones who were above, down here, the ones who were rich and powerful and whatever, I saw that down there, and then in the Olam Emes, they're down below. And vice versa, those who were down below in this world, who were poor, and we look down on them there, I saw them as being very important. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says to him, Olam Boru Ra'isa, you saw a clear world. You saw the world the way it really is supposed to be. In all worlds, we see many people. We think that we think of them as differently than what they really are. Hakosef brings over here from the Aruch, who in turn brings from the Gaonim, that they had a Kabbalah, Rav Mipi Rav. They had a Kabbalah from generation to generation, that specifically what he saw, what Rabbi Yosef saw in the Olam HaEmes over there, he saw Shmuel as a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda was in this world was a Talmud of Shmuel. How come in the Olam HaEmes it's the other way around? So they bring, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, that one time, a woman came with a complaint to Shmuel about somebody had wronged her and she needed to go and she needed a din Torah or something like that. And Shmuel didn't pay any attention to her. So Rabbi Yehuda says, how could you ignore her like that? You're not supposed to do that. And Shmuel says, because it's not my department. Ma'ukva is the head of the local basin. She should be going to him. But nevertheless, though, in the Olam HaEmes, because of Yehuda said to Shmuel, this is not right, said it to him in a derech eretz tikkun way, like a Talmud says to a Rav, but because he had the courage to tell his Rebbe indirectly, you're doing wrong and you should be listening to this woman, therefore he has the schus to be Shmuel's Rebbe in Gan Eden.
He quotes the pasuk. Oytem ozim is nachas dol. Gam hu yikrav lo yana. The pasuk says, a person who closes his ears to the cries of a poor person, he'll also cry out to Hashem and not be answered. So he says to Shmuel, don't you know what happened to that pasuk? And Shmuel tells him, it's not my department because she needs to go to Ma'ukva. But nevertheless, because Rabbi Yehuda had the gumption to speak up and imply to his Rebbe that he's doing wrong, therefore he gets to be Shmuel's Rebbe in Gan Eden. That's what he means. Olam hofuk ra'isi. So, what you saw is a clear world. That is really the way the world is supposed to be. It's the Olam HaEmes, after all. Omole, so then Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asked him, V'anan heichi isnon u'chazisinon, what about us, Bnei Torah, how do we look there in Gan Eden? Omole, so Rabbi Yosef answers him, ki heichi de isnon u'chashvinon hacha, isnon u'chashvinon hasam. We're important in this world, and we are also the same in that world. There's no upside down, There's no upside down or right side up. The same chashivos that we have in this world, we have in the future world. Meaning, Marsha connects this with the previous piece. We're saying again that the chassidim v'anshin ma'aseh are able to say about themselves that our youth did not shame our old age, and we said keneged stain of covered, that both in their youth and in their old age they have covered. So now Rabbi Yosef is saying to his father, Rabbi Shimon Levi, the same thing. We have covered as being tamid chachamim in this world. We don't have to be embarrassed. Now sometimes you have. The Pasuk says, there's going to come a point when even the sun and moon are going to be shamed. It means that they themselves are going to be shamed because the goyim worship them. It means those who worship them are certainly going to be ashamed. So you have, like now everybody looks up to the sun and moon, but also lovely, they're going to be embarrassed and shamed. But the Tamar HaChamim are not like that. They have the same dignity below as above. Marsha, actually, by the way, gives another explanation of the Neged Skein of Kavod that they were asking Shlomo, who's the Ben Olam Haba. It means that he has honor from his children. He doesn't have to be embarrassed by his children that they went off the derech. That would be a Ben. He has a Sefer Torah. Like even for example, we find by Avraham, for example, he had to pass away 5 years younger than he should have, so he doesn't have to see Esav going off the derech. So that's the Neged Skein of Kavod. Then that's a Ben Olam Haba. So then Rabbi Yosef continues with other things that he heard while he was there in the Olam HaEmes. The Shamaiti Shohayu Oimrim, I heard that they were saying in Gan Eden, Ashrei Misha Bolakan the Talmud Biyodin. Happy and fortunate is a person who comes here to the Olam HaEmes with his learning in his hand. Which has many different meanings. It means partially that he remembers his learning, he hasn't forgotten it. The Gemara tells elsewhere about Rav Ashi that he wanted an extra, he asked the Malach HaMavis for an extra 30 days so he could review his learning one last time for this reason. So he comes to the Olam HaEmes, the Talmud Rebbe Yodrei. Marsha points out over here, it can also mean, you know what, the best kind of learning, what really gets absorbed into a person's mind is when he writes down his Torah. Therefore, Talmud biyodeh, his Talmud is biyodeh. He wrote it with his hand, and that makes it that now it stays with him, and he brings it to Olam Haba. There's many other different explanations of what it means. Talmud biyodeh, it means that he's practicing what he learned. He didn't just sam learn and not keep the mitzvahs. And there's a variety of other explanations. The Shamaiti Shor Yoimrim, then Rabbi Yosef says, I heard another thing when I was there. Haruge Malchus, those who were executed by the government, Ein Kol Briya Yecholah Lamed B'Mkitzosan. No other creature can stand in the same area as them because they're on such a high level in Gan Eden. So the Gemara asks, Man Ninhu, which Haruge Malchus are we talking about? Ilemi Rabbi Akiva V'Chaverov, do we mean Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues, the Asor Haruge Malchus? We just mentioned before, Rabbi Chanin Ben Tzadian was one of them, and there were others. So what do you mean, Mishum Haruge Malchus were too low? Are you telling me it's just because they were Arugei Malchus? Isn't that, there's more reason why they should be on such a high level in Gan Eden. Pshita, isn't it obvious? So you can Maisim Tovim, Balav Hachinami. Anyway, they have Torah, they have Maisim Tovim, of course they're on a high level. What more do they need from being Arugei Malchus? Ella, rather, the answer is in other words, Marsha teaches out. Anyway, we're going to learn later in the Masechta that every tzaddik has a mechitza of his own, has a special place in Gan Eden of his own. So what's the chiddush? Ela Haruge Lud. Rather, what we're talking about is the people who were executed in Lud. So Rashi explains, based on a Gemara and Tainus, there were two brothers named Lulianus and Papus. What happened was, the Gemara says over there that they were captured, they were taken prisoner by Turionus, by a Roman governor or emperor named Turionus, and Rashi explains the background was that the emperor's daughter had been found dead, and they suspected the Jews of having done it, and they were about to go and kill Jews indiscriminately. So these two brothers stepped forward and claimed responsibility for it. And the Gemara tells the whole thing over there, where Turyona said, I know what you're doing. You figure you're going to get out of it. And they explain, no, they were great tzaddikim. We're not. Nuhadnetzo at least would recognize the Eibishter's power after that. You're not going to anyway. So there's different versions whether the Gemara says that shortly afterwards, Roman nobles came and crushed this Turyona's skull, and that was the end of him. So much so, in fact, that they declared that day a Yom Tov. Yom Tov and Megillas Tainus, your days out there. But nevertheless, it comes out that he had killed them first, and they were the Haruge Lud. So it happened in the city of Lud. But in other words, the point is, these are not such great Tamar Chachamim. They don't have Talmud B'Yodeh, but their schus is just that they were Haruge Malchus, and for that alone, they have a place in Gan Eden that's unequaled by anybody else, because they were Moshe Nefesh for the whole Jewish people. Why two? I don't know, because maybe if there had been only one, they would have said, one of you by yourself wouldn't have been able to do it. I don't know.
Crushed his skull?
So there some Roman nobles came and crushed Trujanus' skull, the guy who would just kill these two brothers.
Before they were already dead.
Yes. We know that Rosh Chodesh Tevis is the day when Moshe started explaining the Torah to the Jewish people, B'Shivim Loshen. So now let's talk about that. The Rebbe talks about in Asicha in Tavshin Mem Vav that this is negeya to every Yid's Avoda, because every Yid has a Moshe Rabbeinu in him. Mm. On Rosh Chodesh Shvat, every person is given a special Mesinas Toyach in his Avoda to be able to spread Torah and Yiddishkeit in every language, B'Shivim Loshen. And that would mean you have Jews who you have to teach them in other languages because they're not yet Shayach to Loshen HaKodesh, like here where we learn in English because we don't speak Loshen HaKodesh enough fluently. It also means when we have Lashat Lahavda, when we're Mashpia on the Umas HaOlam, to accept the Shem Mitzvah Nerech. Same thing. We can't teach them in Hebrew. We can't teach them in Lashon HaKodesh. They won't understand it. Of necessity, we teach it to them in English and French and Spanish and Russian and so on and so forth. And we all have an Asinas Koyach on this day to be able to accomplish that. Rosh Chodesh Shvat has to do because on that day Moshe started telling the Jewish people to repeat for them the whole Torah. Hoyo Moshe, Be'er as a Torah Azois. And Rashi says, B'Shivim Loshen, Perish Alahem. He explained it to them in the 70 languages. So Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So we know that the every time we have something that happened on this day, then we have a Nesinas Koyach on that anniversary every year, so it is now. We're now at Pesimin Vav, which is the dinim of the bracha of Asher Yotzar and Lakai Neshama and their meanings. Now, according to the actual halacha, as it says in the Gemara, you need to say Asher Yotzar only after you went to the bathroom. So in principle, Medina de Gemara, you wouldn't say it when you first wake up in the morning if overnight you didn't go to the bathroom. Nevertheless, the Minhag HaOlam is that every morning we say Al Natzivus Sinaim, and right after that we say Asher Yotzar. Why? Because every day, as we've been learning before, a person becomes a Beria Hadasha, becomes a new creature. Therefore, every day it's Shayach to make the Bracha Asher Yotzar as the Adam Chochma, that Hashem created man with wisdom. Because every day we've been recreated, in effect. Now, the fact is, there is that suffix, whether you should say it. So what a person should do is, as soon as he washes Negobaster, go to the bathroom. Then when he finishes in the bathroom, he'll wash his hands again and then say Asher Yotzar, and then that way he's Yotzar both. Because even if he was required to say Asher Yotzar for waking up in the morning and being a new barrier, fine, one Asher Yotzar does double duty also for the fact that he just went to the bathroom. The better thing then, in a way, now, the Rebbe says, would be not to say on the Tzivos Yadayim until after that second washing, especially if he feels when he wakes up that he has to go to the bathroom, because then we're going to learn later on in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, in the Halachas of Tefillah, that you're not even supposed to say Barachas when you feel you have to go to the bathroom. So then, really, the best thing would be to not say on the Tzivos Yadayim until after he goes to the bathroom, and then he can say, then he washes his hands, then he can say on the Tzivos Yadayim and Asher Yotzar back to back. Okay.